Hi everyone, I'm Karen Webster and welcome to Topic TBD, a weekly look at the topics that are making news but also newsworthy. Today I'm joined by Osama Berrier, founder and CEO of Point. Hey Osama, thanks for joining me today.
Hey Karen, it's a pleasure to be on. I always enjoy our conversations.
And me too. We were reminiscing about many years ago our first experience at the Money 2020 panel. We had a lot of fun. And we'll have a lot of fun today because our topic is one of your all-time favorites, predictions. It is that time of the year. Everyone has them. Many of them are wrong. That never stops any of us from making them anyway. The 2016 election showed us how wrong a lot of important predictions can be. And Baseball Hall of Famer Casey Stengel said, never make predictions, especially about the future. Anyway, that sounds like Yogi Berra to me, but it really was Casey Stengel. Anyway. We're going to make some predictions about a space you know very well, Osama, and that is what you call merchant technology, point of sale, merchant services, a space that has undergone a tremendous amount of change over the last several years, and a space that even in 2016 has seen a dramatic amount of change and evolution. So let's start with a basic question. You probably made some predictions, maybe privately to yourself, at the beginning of 2016 about how the space would evolve and probably set your roadmap accordingly. What were some of the things you thought would happen in 2016 that actually have come to pass?
Well, so it's a very good question. And as you said, it's impossible to always get these things right. I think it's always easier to predict when it's always easier to predict what will happen as opposed to when will it happen, because yep. You know, predicting when consumers do it at scale is just near impossible. But some of the things that got me excited that we predicted right is that a lot more of the merging of online and offline systems, so that the merchant delivers a consistent experience. I think we saw a lot more of that happen, and smart devices, smart terminals in particular, are being seen as a necessity. You know, it used to be 2 years ago when we launched, we're trying to convince people why they need a terminal to connect to the internet and download apps. We're having people convince us of that now. So almost every major acquirer in the country is looking at their smart terminal strategy, and so I'm glad to see that finally happen.
Yep.
We're also starting to see that, you know, people didn't really understand what omnichannel was. And a lot of retailers, you know, thought it was just how can I address all of the channels, as opposed to how do I make all the channels look as a single experience, or basically one channel delivered in multiple ways, but one view of the customer. So I think that's coming to fruition, and retailers that are getting there faster get a bigger share of the pie in the future. And so we see a lot more progress towards that. And then the third one that I'm excited about is, you know, we had this the acquiring space and then the ISO space, and in the middle there was something we called ISV. These guys that were a bit more tech savvy than an ISO. So they didn't just sell the acquiring services or resell acquiring services, but they bundled them with some kind of technology. We started to see the emergence of an ISV 2.0, and it was a lot more of a middleware connector type thing, like let me take your POS solution and your acquirer of choice and make them work together. But if it wasn't that, it was more let me build an amazing POS solution, so a Square but vertical specific, and bundle in the acquiring and sell it as a package. So you get the instant onboarding and transparent pricing of Square, but you also get the amazing POS solution that's focused on a vertical like salons or like fitness centers. I think that will be the future of how acquiring will get distributed. So anyway, these are three examples.
So is that one of your big predictions for 2017, that this ISV 2.0 is going to define the merchant services space?
Yes. I think selling commodity acquiring will increasingly be very difficult and value-added services, the best of which a fully integrated solution, even for the smallest guy, will start winning in a big way. And so, yes, definitely big prediction there. I think what you'll see, we saw Booker and MindBody, and a few other, Bypass Mobile. Booker focuses on salons, MindBody focuses on fitness, and Bypass focuses on large sporting venues and QSR. They're creating such amazing technology, and they're gaining a lot of speed by integrating payments seamlessly and creating an amazing experience. So I think that is the future of acquiring. I would say a few other predictions in general. The idea of, I've always been, since 2008, and this is, it pushed me to actually create Google Wallet and eventually Point. And since 2008, I've been thinking that the lines blurring means that the infrastructure of e-commerce, the infrastructure used to build e-commerce will become the future, the infrastructure for commerce in store. That's the only way it can work. The only way you could deliver a true omni-channel experience is to use all the technology we learned in the web and mobile age and to use it for the store. So far it's been, let me create a new system for the web, and then let me create yet another new system for mobile, and retailers have landed themselves in this space where the three systems don't talk and the customer is viewed as three different customers, and they're hampered. And anyone like Amazon or any store that's, Apple's a great example, that said, no, we're going to build one infrastructure and it powers all of it, ends up winning. So I think you'll also see a lot more of that and the benefits of it. So the idea of endless aisle, going to an extreme, every retailer will connect their online aisles to their offline aisles, if you will. And so anything in the store that isn't available, the expectation will be that I could ship it to your home, or I could ship you the right size or a different color. I think that seamlessness you'll start to see happen in a big way. I think mobile transactions will start to take a majority share over desktop in a lot of segments. So people primarily buying, so m-commerce, if you will, a few years ago we were talking about, when mobile will, how much of e-commerce mobile will take. I think it'll be the other way around. How much of desktop still happens in e-commerce. And increasingly, I think, 4 or 5 years from now, I believe we end up with 5% or something less. Most of the buying will happen on a mobile device. In terms of e-commerce, I think next year is when you start seeing the majority, so over 50% in a lot of segments. I definitely believe Amazon, eBay, a lot of the big retailers, a lot of big online players will see that next year. And then you'll start seeing it as a necessity as a result for the smaller guys. Any small player that doesn't offer online purchasing or online or order ahead, skip the line, will see a significant share of their business move away. It'll become as necessary as having a website.
I think to your point about what that means for the retailer, they really need to optimize their mobile strategy, not necessarily always their mobile app strategy, because as we know, there are a lot of apps and a lot of players that just won't ever get downloaded. So there needs to be some other thought with respect to how these merchants are found and how these experiences can be conducted via the mobile device.
You are absolutely correct. And, building on that point, this idea of mobile is a channel is going to be a problem because the retailers that think of mobile first, like if the majority of buying in e-commerce will be mobile, then you can't think of it as a side play. It's got to be front and center to your strategy. In fact, it's got to define your strategy. Because increasingly what you'll see is either a slowdown or a decrease in in-store sales year over year. And so the only way to grow as a retailer will be digital media. And so mobile and a mobile-first strategy, I think, is critical next year. 5 years out, if you're not leading your experience with mobile, your in-store sales drop significantly. I think you'll see retailers go out of business if they don't next year figure out their mobile-first strategy, because this type of thing, you know, you don't do something next year so that you're successful next year. You do something next year so that you're successful 3 or 4 years out.
Right.
Anyone who's still figuring it out now is almost lost. Next year will be a critical year to think of your strategy as mobile first. I think you brought up a very interesting question. Not everybody will get downloaded. And I agree, only the top retailers will have enough momentum to get their apps downloaded. So what does everybody else do? I think two interesting things will happen. You'll start seeing movement on this from Apple and Google. The first one is this idea of the app world versus the web world will also start to blend. I think you'll see the operating systems increasingly putting out updates, and next year will be a watershed year, updates where there's something that's not an app and it's not a web page. It's something in the middle. You don't have to actually discover it and find it and download it. I think it auto-downloads. With a prompt from voice, whether it's Siri or Google Now or Google Assistant. Google needs to figure out how to hone in their strategy so they don't have three different variations of it. But voice is going to play an even more critical role in initiating the commerce transaction, not just in the web way where they showed you a link, but in actually completing the order. And as a result, not making you download. So imagine, you know, calling for a taxi and not having the Uber app, but the OS downloads an applet automatically for you to finish the transaction. I think you'll see a lot more of that.
Yeah, Google's starting to do some of that now, right? They're experimenting with that now. I'm not sure Apple's making it the App Store searchable, but that's different than what Google has been playing around with. That is that applet strategy where you basically can call up an app without having to download it on your phone.
Yes, I think in the latest version of the OS, they're playing around with it. You know, what's missing is this battle of who is top of funnel.
Yep.
And that needs to get resolved because, you know, if you're Uber, you're also wondering, well, strategically, if you're Uber or Amazon, and for that matter, strategically, I want the user to come to me. I don't want Apple or Google to send it to me and then charge me for it, you know, down the road. I want it to be my customer, and I want it to be my payment credential. And this is why, the whole war for payment credentials is important, because, you know, the guy who's got the most payment credentials removes the friction from the transaction and ends up having that ability to be top of funnel. Because, you know, if the guy who removes the most friction earns the right to be top of funnel in the future. In a world where links mattered most, Google easily had that one. But now that and building on that prediction, the idea of advertising requiring the end step being an order, not a link or a referral, is also going to come to fruition next year. I think you'll see a lot more pay-for-performance advertising, and performance meaning an order ended up being the result. And so this is why this applet thing is critical. Apple, by the way, to answer your question, has experimented a little bit with it. Whenever you're near a store where they're piloting, like Sephora is a good one, you'll see a little icon start to show up on the bottom bottom left-hand side of your screen, even on the home screen when you're not logged in or pinned in. I think you'll see a lot more messaging come out of that as opposed to just the icon.
I think there's a lot that has to be done though to eliminate a lot of the clutter that I experience because I like to experiment with all these different things. My lock screen now is a mess, and you know, because I'm getting messages from everything, and
I feel the same way, by the way.
What I used to value about that was I could see important things. I could see if someone was texting me and needed to get a hold of me, or I missed a call and a voicemail. And now I have to sort through, you know, Pancho the weather cat telling me it's raining in between, you know, an offer for something else in between, you know, a news flash from, you know, AP. So it's, I think there's a, there's a lot that has to be worked through in order for the consumer to have a good experience, for the merchant to have a good experience, and for everyone in the ecosystem to kind of be satisfied. How long will that take to sort out, in your opinion?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know if that ever gets sorted out. I mean, push messaging is as old as, I don't know, I remember in 96, startups trying to push stuff to your desktop. It just has never really worked that well in commerce use cases. And so here we are 20 years later, still trying to push stuff to your screen, and the problem is always quality from noise. How do I know what you really want versus, you know, and it ends up being a, you know, cocktail of I'll send you everything and I'll hope your actions help me hone in. That part has never played out. And this is why I go back to, it's got to be pull. It's got to be voice activated. So I, you know, this was the magic of Google from day one. When I tell you I want an iPod, I probably want to buy an iPod. And so if I show you an ad for an iPod right then, and not only that, by the way, it means I want an iPod and I want it right now. And so that's why, you know, paid search results work. What we haven't seen yet is paid voice search results work. And with the wallets being part of the OS, work here means that they don't just send a great referral. They can actually close the sale when it matters the most. Adding one more piece of it, now that we have great location and finally retailers have commerce infrastructure that's at least bandaged together, I can buy online while in store with some context. I should literally be able to buy the item, whether in store or on the web or on the way to store, no matter where I am, whether I want to pick it up in the store, whether I want it shipped to the store, to the house for the store. But all of it, I think voice will play a very critical role in not just commerce, but I think this long-held idea I've had about commerce, payments, and advertising being on a collision course. You know, great advertising is called discovery for commerce, right? So if you create a great discovery experience in a commerce app, it beats out advertising each time. And so voice discovery on my mobile phone could be the best of all worlds, the best of Google, the best of Amazon, you know, the best of all of it. But as you said, a few things have to be worked out politics-wise. How do you get Amazon to be okay with Google being top of funnel? That's always going to be hard. So it won't start out with Amazon, but I think you'll see a few good examples where Google and Apple tie up with a big retailer or two and create that end-to-end flow, so that 2018 becomes the scale year for it.
Interesting. Let me ask a final question about the in-store experience, since that's kind of your world right now. What you described is, you know, is an interesting vision, but doesn't necessarily have a retail footprint as front and center, which of course gives retailers with brick and mortar locations a lot of anxiety. How do you see stores actually changing, what it is they do, and why people use them going forward?
So, you know, you go back five decades, and the where you won in retail is selection and price. And this ushered in big box retail as an era, and it was very successful. And everybody catered to it, and you know, Walmart came out of that as the largest retailer in the world, one of the largest companies in the world, the largest employer in the world, largest of a lot of things. And then we entered a new era where it started to run 20 years ago. E-commerce is tailor-made for selection and price. Why? Because the way you run selection and price, but with really big stores that have everything and a lot of scale that gave you the best price and the logistics to deliver those products to all those stores in a short period of time. Those were the muscles you had to build 50 years ago, and Walmart built them better and faster and bigger than anybody else and became really successful at it. Online created a new rule set where selection and price could be best without any of those muscles. In fact, it was a new set of muscles. So, you know, the way you got selection and price online, you didn't have to have warehouses. You didn't have to have stores. You didn't even have to buy the items. You just had to have access to them. In fact, you could sell them before you had you bought them, and therefore you could get price even better. You could always give a better price. You could always make the sale because you knew your margins before you even offered the sale. So online was made, e-commerce was made for selection price, but it added one more thing. It, because of, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention, the fact that I didn't have physical proximity to the customer meant I needed to provide an experience that made up for that. So personalization, you know, today we call it AI, it's a fancy word, but this idea of getting so much data about the customer each time they come in, and then building up that profile and knowing them really well in your servers, and then catering to every experience and making it better and better and better, that muscle was new. It had never existed in retail. In fact, big box retail worked against that muscle. It didn't matter anymore. It was just about, if I give you the best price, I didn't care who you are. If I had the item, I didn't care who you are. So e-commerce added that piece, and Amazon is killing it, providing a great experience on top of selection and price. And so mm-hmm. as you go in store, so what does in store end up being about if it's all selection and price? It actually ends up being all about experience. My ability at scale to give you an amazing experience will determine whether I close a sale or not. And that doesn't mean big warehouses. It doesn't mean big stores. It doesn't mean the ability to have all the items at all the stores. In fact, none of that matters. I think in this day and age, the logistics of Amazon being able to deliver items in an hour anywhere in the country is pretty amazing. And I thought there, yeah, but I think they'll get there. I remember having a conversation with Jeff Bezos in 2010. And I told him, how will you win against in-store? He said, because I'll deliver anything anywhere in the country in 4 hours. And I thought that was fascinating. So that's what they're building. Then it doesn't matter how big the store is. It's the wrong muscle to try to put everything in the store. The store will end up being all about experience. And the guy who delivers the best experience wins. And the best experience is not just about, you know, truly figuring out loyalty as opposed to rewards, truly figuring out how to never run out of an item or how to always give you a fair price. I think it also means having a fun experience. People love going to an Apple store. It's fun. I get to see new stuff. I get to learn new things. I get to really solve my problems. And so the way you deliver amazing experiences in store is technology. There's no other way. To do it at scale, you have to put amazing technology. And so that means we're also going into a phase where, you know, we used to think of technology companies that do retail and then retailers that use technology as IT, that will go away. You have to be a technology company to be in retail in the future. If you're a retailer now, you have to become a technology company. If you're a technology company or near retail, you're going to have an advantage.
Yeah, no, I agree. I still think it comes back to, you know, retail is about merchandising. It is the experience as you define it is critically important. But experience is different things to different people, and even different things in different segments. Sometimes the experience has to be efficiency. I want to get in and get out and get those black shoes because I need to wear them tonight. Sometimes it's about having a relationship with the shopper who curates what you like to buy, and you go in and take a look at that, and then you walk out and have it delivered to your house later. Sometimes it's just about browsing around because you're not sure what you want, but it comes back to selection. I mean, you have to have the right merchandise. If you have the right merchandise, I think sometimes price becomes less relevant. It's always important. But really what consumers want is to buy things that perhaps they intended to buy, but maybe saw something else that attracted their interest, but didn't expect to buy when they walked in. So I think experience is one of the...
I totally agree with everything you just said. But to me, that means two things. It means that you have to be real, and this is why I say technology is key. You have to have the level of technology so you never have an experience where you don't know the customer. Anyone that's ever visited you before, you have to know not just that they visited you before, how many times, how much they spent, every single item they bought. And you know, one more prediction for next year, we finally get really good at predicting your next purchase. I think you'll see at least a couple of companies that become amazing at predicting your next purchase based on all the data you give them. That will be critical. Like before you come in, knowing that you're coming in for something will blow people away. But experience is about technology that takes all the data, and you're absolutely right, figures out who you are and what you may want, how you may want to shop, And then being able to deliver whatever it is, whether it's selection, whether it's price, whether it's discovery, whatever you want, I've got to be able to deliver better. I don't think you have to have the item there. So I think the stores will get a lot smaller. I think the stores get a lot much smaller, but the ability to deliver what you may want as an experience, no matter what it is, so this, you know, predictability, this, you know, leveraging all of this big data and AI to be able to give you your personalized experience, I think it even goes beyond. It almost becomes a different store whether you walk in versus I walk in.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Technology is critical. It's almost interesting that technology is replicating the experience of the old general store where the shopkeeper actually did know who you were and remembered that you liked to buy pork chops on Thursdays. That's where we're going, full circle in a very, very different world. Well, Osama, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today. I really thought the conversation was awesome. And we're going to hold, we've recorded this so we can hold you to all these predictions, by the way.
Perfect. I look forward to it. So next year we can talk about how much of it was true.
That sounds like a plan. Hopefully we'll talk a lot more between now and then. Osama, thanks very much. And everyone joining us, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of the day and a lovely weekend. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye now.
Bye.